The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Cindy Fowler from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Dave's Garden e-newsletter, 1001 Hints and Tips by Reader's Digest, from the Triangle Gardening magazine, and maybe from Carrots Love Tomatoes and Roses Love Garlic by Louise Riot. We'll start with Dave's Garden e-newsletter, Growing Abelias. There are several types of abelias. However, the most popular seems to be the Abelia ex grandiflora, which is an hybrid cross between A. chinensis and A. uniflora. There are a number of named cultivars with various attributes, such as variegated foliage and dwarf growth habits, so there's sure to be one that is a good fit for your property. Some grow to barely 3 feet tall, while others top out at about 6 to 8 feet. However, any of them can be pruned to keep them tidy in their surroundings. Just be sure to prune in early spring before the new growth emerges. They look best when allowed to maintain an airy, arcing form, but I've seen hedges of abelias too. Just remember to prune a hedge back further than you want it to grow in late winter to allow it to bloom. Plant your abelia in full sun to partial shade and water well for its first year. After that, it should be somewhat drought tolerant, but bear in mind that there will be fewer blooms when the plant is under stress. It also does best when planted where it is sheltered from the wind. Here at my home, that is along my eastern foundation. They are sheltered from the west winds, and I have sun on those beds until about 1 p.m. Abelias are hardy from USDA zones 6 through 9, but since they bloom on new wood, even if they freeze to the ground in harsh winters, you'll still have a nice show each spring. These shrubs are a bug magnet, so be prepared to see many species of bees, insects, and butterflies around them. They are an excellent choice for a pollinator garden. I've even used the slender branches with my cut flower arrangements, and they look great mixed with summer flowers. Abelias are pretty much a win-win situation in the garden and provide an attractive and carefree show each summer. And Seven Summer Lover Bloomers by Mark Wolfe. These seven durable shrubs bring the color when summer brings the heat. Crepe myrtle, Legerstrium indica, is also known as the lilac of the south, but it grows well beyond the land of cotton. Hardiness zones 7 and higher will see crepe myrtles reach their full growth potential. In zones 6 and lower, they are best treated as hardy perennials. Cut them to the ground after several hard winter freezes when they are in hard dormancy to remove wood that would otherwise be killed by the cold. The roots will remain strong and healthy, resprouting new stems each spring. Crepe myrtles are also available in a wide range of sizes. If you need a small shade tree or a mound-shaped foundation plant, there is a crepe myrtle to fit your needs. While some varieties may reach in excess of 25 feet in height, others may never achieve 5 feet, and there are many size options in between. As for color, the spectrum runs from white to pink, red, and purple. Hardy hydrangea, Hydrangea paniculata, is also known as hardy hydrangea because of its ability to grow in zones 3 to 8. These mostly white flowering shrubs mature at 8 to 15 feet tall and wide. The varieties are differentiated primarily by size and flower appearance. Dwarf varieties such as Little Lime and Strawberry Sunday stay smaller than 6 feet at maturity. Some of the flowering differences include colors such as the charousse blooms of Limelight, the white to red involving Vanilla Strawberry and Firelight, and the pink and white bicolored Pinky Winky. Use this deciduous shrub in beds and borders as a specimen, particularly when trained as a patio tree. The flowers make wonderful vase displays, fresh or dried. Rose of Sharon, Hibiscus syriacus, is a favorite of the Hibiscus genus for its hardy shrub habit and durability under a variety of conditions. Hardy in zones 5 to 9, growing 8 to 12 feet tall, Rose of Sharon comes in a wide array of bloom color choices, including white, pink, purple, red, and multi-toned varieties. These summer bloomers perform best in full sun and work well in shrub borders or as specimen plants. The flowers attract all kinds of pollen and nectar lovers like hummingbirds, butterflies, bees, and more. Plant Rose of Sharon in moist, well-drained soil in full sun. Repeat blooming azaleas. Azaleas are familiar spring blooming plants, but since the advent of numerous reblooming cultivars, summer is much more colorful. Repeat blooming azaleas may be white, red, pink, purple, orange, or a combination of colors. Sizing ranges from small shrubs under 3 feet to medium sizes in the 4 to 6 foot range. Encore azaleas offer the broadest selection for partial sun or sunny areas, with nearly 30 varieties to choose from. For shady locations, bloomathon azaleas excel as repeat bloomers with 4 color options. Azaleas work well in mass plantings or as individual accent or focal plants. Knockout Rose. The Knockout Rose completely changed landscaping when it arrived on the scene. The heavy rebloomer offers brilliant cherry red blooms from spring through fall on plants that achieve a height and width of 4 to 6 feet and is hardy in zones 5 to 11. In addition to the original red knockout, there are several shades of pink and yellow, as well as double-flowered red and pink. Knockout roses are highly disease-resistant and rebloom with minimal maintenance beyond pruning. Use knockout roses in all types of mass plantings for great effect. Butterfly bush, Buddleia Davidii, has been widely used to attract butterflies and other pollinators for many years. The classic purple-blooming, fragrant, 10-foot shrub has gradually become outpaced by other colors and improved cultivars with dwarf habits. Butterfly bushes may be found that stay under 3 feet, which work well in container plantings or as part of a perennial border. The larger types can anchor pollinator gardens, accent shrub borders, or contribute their color to naturalized areas. Butterfly bushes are hardy in zones 5 and up. Bloom colors range may be white, pink, red, purple, blue, and multi-tone. Bluebeard, Caryopteris x clandoninensis, also known as bluebeard or blue mist, grows 3 to 4 feet tall and wide and is hardy zones 5 to 9. The top growth is only consistently hardy to zone 7, but the plant regenerates readily in zones 5 and 6 if the top is winter killed. This petite beauty forms a neat mound that works well in masses at the front of the shrub border as a low edge or in a mixed perennial bed. Bluebeard blooms in midsummer through fall, attracting the attention of pollinators. The silver-gray foliage is fragrant upon contact, adding another desirable dimension. The key to durability in any plant is good cultural practice. Be sure to use recommended planting practice for your local conditions, including soil amendments and mulch. Regular deep waterings during the first full growing season will help new plants to grow a deep root system, a key factor in long-term health of the plant. Now from the Triangle Gardener, Plant Focus, Spirea, by Mark Wethington, who is the director of the J.C. Ralston Arboretum at NC State University in Raleigh. Take a tour around an old homestead in spring, and odds are good you'll see the airy white sprays of bridal wreath Spirea x venutia. While beautiful, the large shrubs with one good showy season went out of favor after a century or more of use. In the late 1980s, Spirea came back in style as some lower growing species like S. japonica and SX Bumalda became popular with their dense mounds of foliage and pink flower clusters, often over bright chartreuse foliage. Just like fashion, Spirea is poised to make a comeback as new selections enter the marketplace. Recent breeding has combined great disease resistance with nearly sterile flowers, opening the door for a Spirea renaissance. For those who appreciate a lot of oomph to their shrubs, there is a shockingly bright new selection called Candy Corn, which produces rosy red new growth, which fades to orange and finally pineapple yellow. The three-tone display is certainly reminiscent of its high fructose namesake. If all the foliage color wasn't enough, waves of showy purple-pink flowers cover the bright foliage starting in late spring. If you prefer a slightly more restrained display in the garden, Double Play Doozy may be more your style. Spring foliage emerges a rich red and then is topped from late spring through much of the summer with deep purple-red flowers. Distant and while showiest in plenty of sun, will tolerate a surprising amount of shade. They need little care to stay beautiful, and a light trim after the first flush of flowers will keep them dense and compact to about 3 feet tall and wide. While your bell bottoms probably won't come back in style anytime too soon, some of the new selections of Spirea will keep your garden fashion forward while paying homage to a classic landscape standby. Next, Growing Native Vines by Dale Batchelor, who owns Gardener by Nature, LLC, a residential design and consultation company in Raleigh, emphasizing sustainable landscapes and native plants. With her husband, John Thomas, she co-created Swift Brook Gardens, a habitat certified by the NC Native Plant Society and the National Wildlife Federation. Movies set in the South often feature images of trees dripping with purple wisteria or the white and yellow flowers of fragrant honeysuckle. Ironically, neither of these plants is native to our region. Asian wisterias and Japanese honeysuckle were introduced to the U.S. in the early 1800s for ornamental use and erosion control. Immediately popular, the vines were widely planted and soon escaped into fields and woods across the Southeast and beyond. Without natural predators in the existing ecosystem, exotic invasive species displace native plants, disrupting natural communities. Vines such as honeysuckle and wisteria choke out existing vegetation on the ground level and change the forest by girdling young trees. Gardeners who admire these vines for their beauty and usefulness should be relieved to learn there are vines native to the Southeast that can perform the same functions without threatening the surrounding environment. March in the triangle, the bright yellow flowers of Carolina jessamine begin to appear in trees along woodland edges and often continue into May. A close relative, swamp jessamine, lacks the fragrance of Carolina jessamine, but repeats flowering in fall. Readily available from nurseries and garden centers, the two species, which are very similar in appearance, are sometimes potted and sold together, providing the benefits of both species. Crossvine, another large evergreen vine, starts blooming just in time for the hummingbird's April arrival. The orangish red flowers continue into May with some sporadic blooming later in the summer. Crossvine also shines in the winter garden when its foliage deepens to a dark purple color before greening back up in spring. Tangerine Beauty is a frequently sold selection, a nectar source favored by hummingbirds. Coral honeysuckle flowers profusely in spring, then sporadically summer through fall, as the name suggests. The blossoms are typically red outside with yellowish interiors. Selections with yellow flowers, including John Clayton, are also available. Coral honeysuckle's flowers lack the intoxicating fragrance of the Japanese species, but the plant more than compensates by the benefits it provides to birds and other wildlife. The flowers are followed by bright red berries that are eaten by a number of songbirds. Coral honeysuckle not only provides nectar and fruits, it also serves as a host plant. I was alarmed one late summer when the honeysuckle at my mailbox was beset by caterpillars. My alarm turned to joy when I learned the caterpillars were the larval stage of the hummingbird chew clear-wing moth, one of my most treasured garden inhabitants. American wisteria is similar in appearance to Asian wisteria, but slower growing and easier to manage. Its flowers are smaller and less fragrant, but are a deeper, more purple color. American wisteria also begins flowering at a much earlier age than its exotic cousins. Selections include Amethyst Falls and a white-flowered form, Alba. Duke Gardens celebrated the 75th anniversary of its terrace gardens by removing the iconic Chinese wisteria from its landmark pergola and replacing it with the American species. While none of these natives are a threat in natural areas, using them successfully in gardens requires getting to know their habits and placing them accordingly. Poorly sited, some can become maintenance nightmares. Well placed, these vines can perform important functions in gardens, providing color, nectar, and fast evergreen screening. easy to grow. They thrive in average soil and tolerate drought. Once established, all grow successfully in full sun to part shade, but flower more profusely in sun. None are favored by browsing deer. To provide a vine proper support, consider its mature size and climbing style. In the wild, jessamines and crossvine grow up to the top of the forest canopy in order to find sun and flower. Therefore, these large vines can create fast evergreen screens. Jessamine is a twining vine that can be trained to rapidly cover a chain link fence. Crossvine attaches itself by tendrils, enabling it to climb trellises and walls without assistance. The smallest of these native vines, coral honeysuckle, matures at about 15 feet, but can be pruned to maintain a lower height or more tidy appearance. A twining vine, it requires some training to establish on a trellis. Coral honeysuckle's evergreen habit and compact size make it a popular vine for mailbox posts. Neither coral honeysuckle nor the jessamine spread aggressively along the ground, so they are useful in mixed planting. Some other native vines, including crossvine and American wisteria, spread rapidly by sending out runners. These runners can be easily removed or mowed if the vines are planted in open areas or on a wall without other plantings. However, using running vines in crowded plantings requires diligence. A crossvine we planted behind a shrub border on our back fence invaded the shrubs and overgrew a small dogwood before we knew it was happening. Now relocated to a freestanding trellis, it can be an effective screen for a utility area without encroaching on other plants. I've grown American wisteria in large containers, thereby eliminating problems with its runners. The North Carolina Invasive Plant Council lists Japanese honeysuckle and Asian wisteria as pests in the Piedmont, coastal plain, and mountains of our states. For additional information about these and other invasive plant species, visit their website, nc-ipc.weebly.com/nc-invasive-plants-html. And now, from Carrots Love Tomatoes and Roses Love Garlic by Louise Riot. Pepper, hot. Hot red peppers are among the most useful plants in the garden, as well as the most flavorsome. Grind hot peppers and mix with water and a little powdered real soap to make an infusion for spraying plants infested with aphids. Dry cayenne pepper may be dusted on tomato plants attacked by caterpillars. However, if you note long green hornworms on tomatoes, do not be too quick to spray. Watch to see if any of the tiny peristipic wasps that build noticeable white cocoons all over tomato hornworms are present. Do not harm these predators with sprays. They may be doing your work for you. Ground red peppers placed around eggplants and rubbed on the leaves will help repel eggplant pests, and the dried pods, pulverized and sprinkled on corn silk, will give protection against raccoons. Another all-purpose spray may be made of ground pepper pods, onions, and a bulb of garlic. Cover this mash with water, let stand 24 hours, and strain. Add enough water to make 1 gallon of spray. Use several times daily on roses, azaleas, chrysanthemums, or beans to hold down serious infestations. Do not throw away the mash, but bury the residue among the plants where insects occur. Protect your hands with gloves when you work with hot peppers, and be very careful not to get the juice in your eyes. Praying mantis, despite its ferocious appearance, This is one of our most beneficial insects, and it will not harm any vegetation in the garden, dining only on other insects. Mosquitoes. Garlic-based oil is effective in killing mosquito larvae in ponds. Myristicin, a synthesized compound found in parsnips, also is effective as a selective insecticide against the larva, as is Bacillus thuringiensis. The leaves of molasses grass and sassafras are mosquito repellents, and I find that castor beans planted around my garden make it more pleasant to work there in the long, cool western twilights when I do most of my garden work. Yule Gibbons says that American pennyroyal, sometimes called squall mint, and a Native American plant, not to be confused with the European pennyroyal, is a natural insect repellent. A handful of crushed and rubbed on the skin will not only emit a pleasant smell, but also repel mosquitoes and gnats. The skunk's protection, butyl mercaptan, can be neutralized with tomato juice. Skunks have some benefit in keeping large insects and mice in check. Mice. Mice and rats are repelled by fresh or dried leaves and the oils of mints, by camphor, and by pitch pine. Mothballs repel rabbits as well as mice, but should not be used where food crops are grown or where children can pick them up. Sea onions, white lavender, wormwood, and spurge repel mice, while everlasting pea is useful against field mice, and leaves of dwarf elder protect against mice in granaries. For today's episode of Out in the Garden, be sure to listen next time. We hope you enjoyed it.
The purpose of the North Carolina Reading Service is to connect people who are blind and print impaired with each other, their families, and the community by delivering news, information, and entertainment using the latest audio technology. For more information about the North Carolina Reading Service, visit us online at ncreadingservice.org. You can also give us a call. Our telephone number is 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. The North Carolina Reading Service. We breathe words into your life.